Christianity Unplugged. We're coming to you live today with a new exciting interactive Bible show. This discussion will be from the book of John. Now introducing Pastor Philip Moses.
Unplugged.
Amen, amen, amen. We welcome you to Christianity Unplugged. My name is Pastor Phil Mosby. I am your host for tonight. Christianity Unplugged is a unique interactive through the Bible format, and it gives you, the listeners, a systematic look at the Word of God. Now, we thank you for being a part of us, our growing CU nation, and tonight we present the great book of John, chapter 20. Now, let us pray. Father, we thank and we praise you, Lord. Father, that you've given us this format, Father. You've given us this opportunity, Father, to go into your word, Father. And your word is everything to the believer. So, Father, may we go through the word tonight, and may the word become us, Lord. Father, Ezekiel said, Father, that we could even eat the word, Father. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you, Lord, that even tonight, Father, that we begin to sup on your word, Father. Oh, Father, we absolutely love you. We thank you, and we give your name all the praise, all the glory that is due. In Jesus' name, let every tongue say, amen and amen. I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety, even on tonight, John chapter 20. And if you would, I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. As soon as you get there, I'll know it, because I hear somebody say, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to read the whole chapter in its entirety, John chapter 20. It's a short chapter, but it's a good chapter, amen? So we're going to start right there at verse number 1. I want you guys to read along with me. It says, the first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb, or sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb or the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the tomb. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the tomb, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped, folded neatly together in a place by itself. I added that for emphasis. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without or outside at the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said, say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which was Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Amen.
Amen. That was good reading, right? He got something out of that. Amen. What a powerful reading. I really do believe that God is speaking to us. I just really, as I'm reading this, all of us have seen, you know, the passion of the Christ, and we kind of know, you know, some people kind of know the what happened at the end of Jesus' life. But I thought about this as I was reading this. It says, it's talking about this resurrection. But what's interesting to me about this is I see that if I ask church folk, and this, I'm going in a whole different direction with this, so y'all stay with me. If I ask church folk all over the world if they were saved, I think the reply would be yes. I could probably go on this block in this neighborhood, go door to door, knock, and ask everybody in this neighborhood, are you saved? Now, probably 90% of the homes, I would get yes. You could go in church to church and ask. Here's the problem I have with that question now. The next question I would ask them is, how do you know? What I believe is we got a lot of people who are professing Christianity and have no clue what salvation is about.
Mm-mm.
Don't understand Christianity at all. I think if I were to judge this thing correctly, there are a lot of people who are professing Christianity going to hell with gasoline underwear. I've heard that somewhere before. And I really believe it. Talking about their Christian. Now, I want you to look to your neighbor, even where you are now, and ask them, are they saved? Go ahead. I want to hear it. Are you saved? Now ask them, how do you know it? And don't wait for an answer. Don't wait for an answer. Because I think in this segment tonight, we're getting ready to dispel the myth. We're getting ready. Let me do this. I'm gonna give an opportunity for you to speak. They're on the front row about to jump out their chairs. Amen. But today we're going to have, the Bible says that, I think it's 1 Peter 3 and 15, that you need to be ready with an answer with the hope that's within you. A lot of us have the hope. We're saved, we're Christians, but we don't know why. We can't even describe to people why. I think that's why people don't witness, because they don't have a witness. Number two, they don't have the word. Come on now. Number three, because they're worried about what folk might say or reject them. And it's so interesting to me. As we read this scripture tonight, I really believe that some people are going to be freed up in terms of the place where they are in Christianity. You're going to be able to let folk know that you're saved, and you're going to let folk know that you're saved indeed. You're going to be ready with an answer tonight. We're going to know why we're saved, amen? I believe it comes from this place called the gospel. And the gospel is simply the good news, but can I tell you that when the Bible talks about the gospel, it's a real good news. I believe it's great news. I want you to turn quickly your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. As soon as you get there, say amen. I'm doing this and I never go outside of the scripture. But I don't want anybody under my watch to not know why they're saved. You should have an answer when somebody asks you, why are you saved? How do you know that you're saved? You should have an answer. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, we're going to talk about the gospel. And when Paul was discussing what the gospel was, this is precisely what it was. I'm going to start reading from verse number 1. You're there? I still hear pages turning, which tells me y'all ain't ready. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I'm going to start reading. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What is he declaring? Paul now is teaching what the gospel is. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you were saved. This gospel saves you. And I'm gonna get into this, but by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, and I'm gonna preach this thing tonight, unless you have believed in vain. Now I'm gonna get into the meat. Verse number three, for I delivered unto you first all that which I have also received, how that Christ, number one, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So number one, you need to write this put this in your memory bank. Nobody has pencil and paper tonight. Put this in your memory bank. The first portion or the first instruction in terms of the gospel is the fact that Jesus died. Can you repeat that back to me? That's part of the gospel. Number two, verse number four, and that he was buried. Number two, I want you to say that to each other. Not only did Christ die, he also was buried. So he died and he was buried. Number three, and that he rose again. Now I want you to say all three. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. All right, you got that. On the third day, according to the scriptures. Now this is precisely what the gospel is about. How about this is essentially what it is we have to believe in order to know that we're saved. We got to first believe that he died. How many people believe that he died? Put your hands up every time I ask you the question. How many people believe that he was buried? Number two. Let me say this, because you couldn't all willy-nilly over there. It's easy to believe that somebody dies. A good friend of mine, I just heard he died today, young guy. But it's easy to believe that people die. It's easy to believe that people get buried. Here's where the rubber meets the road, and here's where John 20 talks about tonight. It ain't many people that really understand the resurrection. It's not many people that understand and believe the resurrection. And tonight, that's what I'm going to get you to. How many people believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected? And I know we just put our hands up quickly. To me, that's a faith feel process, because nobody's ever been resurrected before. People have come back to life, but nobody has been resurrected. He never died again. That was pretty good. Amen. So now we know what the gospel is, and we know how essential the gospel is to our salvation. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. That's all you need to know relative to the gospel. Whenever it's the gospel, somebody say, you know, now we flip around talking about the gospel. Say, you don't know. That's what the gospel says, is that he died, death, burial, and the resurrection. And I'm telling you this, once we get this in our spirit, and the Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt believe in your heart, what does it say? Y'all done got me off course. If you believe in your heart, you saying it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. How about the very salvation required that we believe the gospel?
Come on now.
You got to believe in the death, the burial, and you have to believe in the resurrection. That he rose on that third day. So we're going to talk about that resurrection. We're going to describe it. We're going to talk about it, because I don't think enough people understand and really believe the resurrection power and what that entails. Amen. So if you turn back to John 20, I think we can talk about this with a little bit more fervor. Amen. So this is the account of the resurrection. Last week in chapter 19, we talked about the death and we talked about the burial.
Right.
But this week we're getting ready to get the resurrection power.
Come on, man.
Because once we get the resurrection power, oh, you're off and running now. You really got it. So it says the first day of the week, and in Jewish times and even now, the first day of the week is Sunday. Now, some people think it's Monday, but the first day of the week is Sunday. Now, this was early on Sunday morning. It says the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, and this was early. Let me tell you why people think that this is a discrepancy, because the other Gospels talk about this this event, but they said that it was the break of day. If you look at Mark, I think it's 16 and 9, I think. No, if you look at Mark 16 and 2, it talks about the fact that this was the was daybreak. Amen? But why does John say that it was early? Well, I think I know why. And he has his hands up. Absolutely not. Incorrect. I think it was because she left early in the morning, and by the time she got to the tomb, it was daybreak. I think it was dark when she left, because a lot of people would try to make the scriptures have a discrepancy. There's no discrepancy. Amen. I just want to throw that in. And first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Now, I'm going to talk about Mary Magdalene, because I think we have some falsities about Mary Magdalene. What do you know about Mary Magdalene? Let's talk about it. They say that she was married to Jesus. Y'all heard that junk? They said she was a prostitute. I want you to find that for me in the Bible. Find that for me in the Bible. I don't think you're going to be successful, but just try it. She was a courageous woman because she stood by Jesus Christ, at the two most important times of Jesus Christ, his two important moments in his life, the crucifixion and the resurrection. She was standing by Jesus. Amen.
Okay. About
she was the one cheating woman at the wheel? No, she wasn't. They don't name her by name. People assume that, but the Bible is not specific about that. Amen. So she literally witnessed literally the death, the burial, and the resurrection. To me, she's the perfect picture for salvation because she saw it. And the room gets quiet. I look at Mary Magdalene, and this woman is interesting. She was the first woman first to see Jesus resurrected. We're going to see that in a minute. But why did Jesus have so much favor on this woman? I believe it's because this woman has, the Bible does say she had seven demons in her. I don't think the demons had anything to do with prostitution. A lot of us are demon-filled. There's a lot of demons that need to come out of us. When we first come to Christ, you don't remember? All the junk you were involved in, and how God had to, and is still delivering some of us from some demons. Some of y'all still got two or three of them seven left. I'm just saying what she allowed. She allowed Jesus to literally deliver her from these seven demons. So I believe that's why she loved Jesus so much, because her life was changed because of his ministry. I'm saying something to somebody now. So it was the first day of the week, and it came, Mary Magdalene. It was early when it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, or from the tomb. So this tomb is interesting. The other accounts said there were more than just Mary Magdalene who came to the tomb. It was three women that came to the tomb. Who was it? Mary, and Salome, one of the accounts says. But it's interesting, though, that John focuses on Mary, and John, you'll see later, focuses on himself, because these were the eyewitnesses. I think he got some of this account from Mary Magdalene, because she was a witness, and he got the other part of this scripture, he got it from himself, because he actually was there while this was going on. You with me? So, see the stone taken away, and it's interesting when they got to the, I don't know how, this stone was probably some tons. It's interesting how these women thought that they were going to be able to roll away the stone. They just had faith, I guess, that they were going to be able to get into the tomb. We'll talk about that in a minute. Verse number two, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Well, one of the accounts says she saw some angels. And, of course, the angels told her, you know, that Jesus had risen and all that. Y'all with me on that? So she started running to go tell the disciples. Now, the Bible says that when she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. How many people know who this other disciple whom Jesus loved is? Who's that?
John.
It was John. It was Peter, and it was John. Let me ask you this. Who was in Jesus' inner circle? Peter, James, and John. And it's interesting, who she came to tell was these two. Now, the other accounts tell us that she told all the disciples were there. But this was the perspective, because I think this was important to Mary Magdalene, that she went and told Peter and John, because they were the leaders of this group at this time. How about these guys? We're going to see in a minute. They were absolute cowards at this time. We're going to see in a minute. But it's just interesting, because I got some questions even relative to that. Then she runs and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now we know that's John. And saith unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. They done stole him, and we know not where they laid him. Amen. That's what the scripture says. They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So she got to the tomb, and Jesus was gone. And she was telling the guys, he gone. I don't know where they laid him. I'm getting ready to say something in a minute, though. It blows me away. It may blow you away as well. Verse number 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, what was his name?
John.
And they came to the sepulchre. First they were walking, had to be, and then in verse 4 it says, so they began to run. So they started running. They were so excited about seeing the tomb, amen, or seeing the sepulchre, and the other disciple outran Peter. Now, I did some research, because I was trying to figure, I thought Peter was the man. I thought he was the third. I thought he was the one who was the athletic genius. How about he got outran by John? Come to find out, John was a little younger than Peter. So this time age beat, come on now, youth beat the aged one, amen? So he outran Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Who got to the sepulchre first?
John
got there first. And as soon as he got there, he stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying yet. But what did he do? He didn't go in. Isn't that amazing? As interested, this is a guy who loved Jesus. It just seems so interesting to me that he didn't go in. But me knowing Peter, he getting ready to do some courageous stuff. Look what he did. Verse number 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, following John, and he went into the sepulchre. He went into the tomb, and he seeth the linen clothes lie. Amen? 7, and the napkin, which was about his head, they had his head tied up. You know, they mummified him. Not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, this is interesting to me, because what I first noticed when I read this is, why were the clothes folded together? He saw the head wrap in one place, and he saw his clothing. They were neatly folded together. If you read what that says, they were neatly folded together. That tells me one thing, and one thing that's really instructive to us, that means there is no way in the world that somebody stole a body. Because who's going to steal your body and then neatly fold your clothes? Burglars don't do that. Amen. So you can kind of lay that out to the side, because they were neatly. But you know what I noticed about this too, though? Jesus might have been a neat freak. Never thought about that. We never think of Jesus as being a neat freak. Cleanliness is next to godliness. There ain't no end about. Huh?
For his return, saying, okay, you know, I'm neatly placing these things.
Okay, you about to go somewhere, but you're going too fast. Slow down, slow your train, because she's going somewhere. And it's exactly what I believe. Because look what happens next. And it says in verse number 8, then went also that other disciple. Now, who's the other disciple? John, because he loved. Because he wanted to speak in third person. He don't want nobody to know it was him writing it. He wants you to think, you know, he was writing in third person. Because I'm going to start talking in third person. I like that. He love you. He love you, man. He really does. Then went in he also the other disciple. Here you go, Brush, which came first into the sepulchre. Remember he came in? But now he came to the sepulchre. The Bible says he saw and he believed. I like this word saw, because it has a little bit more meaning than just see. It's literally meaning he perceived. He understood. He saw something and he understood. And blush what you said, you took the steam out of my sail. I believe that's exactly what it was. He was the one that loved Jesus. He was the one, when they had the Last Supper, he laid his head on Jesus' bosom because he loved Jesus. This was Jesus' probably most intimate disciple. And I'm talking about this was his closest disciple. This guy, Jesus, absolutely loved him. You know, and I just think about this, but he knew Jesus' character. He went in instantly. He saw those clothes folded up. He said, Jesus is gone. Jesus left, just like he said he was. He instantly believed when he saw, because he knew his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this, man. I love the picture of him seeing the actual character of Jesus. My sheep know me. They know my voice. They know me because they love me. And it's interesting that the one that loved him was the one that first determined Jesus is risen. Nobody else pulled this kind of stuff but Jesus. Don't you think you should get to know him a little better? There's some intimacy that Jesus would share with. There's some stuff that's flying right by you because you're not intimate. If you knew him, you would know that quarter. Gwyneth and I were walking today. We were walking in the gym. We were running, actually. We ran. How about this? We were running upstairs, and they put us out of upstairs in the gym because they said it was a walking. This was a walking point. We went to DeKalb County, and this is for people who listen to the broadcast. They probably don't understand DeKalb County. But we was upstairs in the DeKalb County gym, this new gym they just built. We were upstairs, and how about somebody? Because we were running, they said this is walking only. So we had to leave upstairs and come downstairs and start to run, because we're going to get our run on. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor and First Lady are going to get their run on. We got work to do. There's some weight they got to go. We're getting high school skinny up in here. Amen. With my last few minutes I got left, but we went downstairs and we ran our mile. But when we got through, as we were walking, we started finding money along the downstairs. It was just money on the ground. Gwyneth started picking it up. Nobody was in the gym but Gwyneth and I. Picking it up. And the Lord instantly, he spoke to Gwyneth and myself and said, this is the year where money going to come from everywhere. Shut the door.
Raise up your mouth.
Let me tell you something. Intimacy with God, I'm telling you, he reveals some stuff to you that'll change your life. Why don't you get to know him better? Why don't you get a relationship, the disciple that loved him? I'm going to keep going because my time is about to go down. That almost got me going right there. Amen. He saw and he believed. Amen. 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. This bothered me, that they didn't have an understanding of resurrection. This is my question to you, and just show by show of hands, because they can't hear you on air. How many of you think that Jesus forewarned him that he was going to be resurrected? Give me a number of times you think Jesus in scripture told him that he was going to rise. Just guess. That was a terrible guess. I thought she's going somewhere. About 7 times. In scripture though. He probably told them 100,000 times. But they never got the resurrection. And I'm telling you this, and we're about to go off the air. How many of us truly don't get the resurrection? And then heard it a lot. We talk about we saved and we know about the death, the burial. How many of us really believe and know about this resurrection? How about my time is up? Man, it's been a plum, pleasing pleasure me serving you tonight. Please check us out at spmatlanta.org or call us at 404-289-8815. Follow us at Facebook, Twitter, /SPM Atlanta. I want to hear from you. This message was a blessing to you. Please let us know. This program is funded by your tithes and offerings, so give as God has prospered you. Please listen to our announcer as she gives you more information about this broadcast. And remember, until next time, go away.
You've been listening to Christianity Unplugged. We thank you for tuning in this evening. To get plugged in with more electrifying messages, books, and DVDs, please visit us at spmatlanta.org. If you'd like to come and get powered up during our Sunday services or up-and-coming events, we can be located 2697 Tulsa Road, Indicator, Georgia. And remember, go away and sin no more.